Galveston, oh Galveston, I still hear your sea winds blowing. I still see her dark eyes glowing. She was 21 when I left Galveston.
Galveston, oh Galveston, does he hear the sea waves crashing? Does he see cannons flashing and clean his gun and dream of Galveston?
Frank Sinatra once said of my next guest that he has been blessed with the emotions and artistic talent of the great lyricists. And Billy Joel admits that when he was starting out as a songwriter, he looked to Jimmy Webb as one of the most innovative and musically proficient songwriters of our generation. The multiple Grammy Award winner has a new album out called Just Across the River, and Jimmy Webb, the man who wrote classics like By the Time I Get to Phoenix, Wichita Lineman, and Galveston, will be performing July 14th at the River to River Festival. But as a special preview, he will be performing live in a few minutes right here in our WNYC studios. And I am delighted to welcome Jimmy Webb back to our show today. Hi.
So nice to be with you again.
Your new album features an amazing array of guest appearances by everyone from Lucinda Williams, who we just heard, Mark Knopfler, Billy Joel, Linda Ronstadt. Are they all people who you've had a relationship with in the past?
I think that the provenance for these cuts is so authentic that I don't feel called on to defend it. But
well, how can you defend having this group?
Well, I think someone could be accused of sort of commercial marketing, you know, ploys. But in this particular case, everyone is such a close friend and so connected to that piece of material. In Lucinda's case, she was one of the first on board. She said, "Can I sing Galveston?" So it kind of got rolling that way.
And Vince Gill is an Oklahoman, so you paired him with a song about Oklahoma.
Vince and I wrote the Centennial song for Oklahoma in 2007. We co-wrote it, and we ended up on stage quite a few times together. And we're Okies. We're proud of it.
Glenn Campbell is one person I associate with you a lot. After all, he sang By the Time I Get to Phoenix, and he's on it here. Have you ever sung with him before?
No, it was the night after a concert at the Schermerhorn Center in Nashville with the Nashville Philharmonic, and I was talking to my producer Fred, and Fred said, "You realize that this may be our only chance to get Glenn and you on the same record at the same time." And the next morning, he came into the studio, and sang By the Time I Get to Phoenix, which to me is one of the most, personally, the most touching moments on the whole record.
Well, in this case, it was a reprise.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he's thought a lot about that song over the years and performed it a lot. So every time it's probably a little different.
He brought something to the table. He really did. In many, many cases, there was a certain magic and ineffable quality that people brought to this particular record that was special and unique, and the songs do come out differently. They're not the same old songs.
But since you're a singer, I'm sure that when you're composing songs, you're composing them with yourself as the singer in mind. So what happens when so many of these songs are interpreted by other people, perhaps in ways that might come as a surprise to you?
Well, I started life as a pure singer, and as a pure songwriter, writing for pure singers, mm-hmm. for Mr. Sinatra's and Mr. Bennett's and Miss Streisand and people like that. And I only became a singer-songwriter out of necessity. I heard Carole King's Tapestry album, and I thought, well, we're all going to have to sing now, whether we like it or not.
But even in the old days, for example, it's a revelation to hear Irving Berlin sing one of his own songs or Frank Lesser.
I think Johnny Mercer was a very good performer.
Hoagy Carmichael.
Yeah. And, I mean, what can you say about Hoagy Carmichael? Nobody could do his songs like him.
Well, that brings to mind Willie Nelson, actually.
Yeah.
And you go back a long time with him, too, don't you?
Definitely back to the days of the Highwaymen, Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Chris Christopherson, Johnny Cash. And the song "Highwayman," which really was a milestone for them and for me, Willie said to me one time, he said he wanted me to play at Irving, Texas, at Farm Aid. He said Johnny Cash was sick, and they needed me to come out and sing "Highwayman" with them. And I said, "Oh man, I couldn't do that. There's 63,000 people here. I couldn't do that." And he said, "Well, Jimmy," he says, "heck," he says, "you're wearing black." He said, "just get out there and they'll think you're Johnny Cash."
Well, the two of you sing "If You See Me Getting Smaller" as a kind of a tribute to Waylon Jennings.
That was a song that I wrote for Waylon. Another very funny story. It actually happened on a television show we were all working on, and they kept hassling Waylon about staying on his marks, and he kept getting into the music and kind of walking off camera, I guess. And about the third time he was interrupted, he said, "I'll tell you something, Mr. Director." He says, "If you see me getting smaller, I'm leaving."
So you were inspired to write the song.
So I was inspired to write the song, and it came out pretty nicely. And he was one of the great kind of dry wits of country music.
How did you wind up having Linda Ronstadt join you on All I Know? That's a song that Art Garfunkel sang, a man who we associate with duets with somebody quite different.
Well, Linda was officially retired at the time. She'd had a press conference and said she was having some vocal difficulties. Excuse me. So
maybe it's the song, because Art Garfunkel's had some vocal difficulties recently.
Maybe it's my fault.
It's all your fault, Jimmy Webb.
But she had retired, and I said to my producer, Freddie Mullen, I said, "You know, Linda's out of the question." And he said, "Well, what, you should ask her." I said, "No, I couldn't do it. You know, she's like a sister to me. We're almost exactly the same age, and we're very close." And I said, I know what she's going through." He said, "I tell you what, let's do. Let's just send her the track with no comment." He said, "What do you think of that?" I said, "Okay, we'll do that." So we sent Linda the track, and 2 days later she responded by email, and she said, "Okay." She said, "You've got me." She said, I'll try to do it." She said, "I don't know whether I can." But, you know, what we came up with on the album was really one of the most charismatic Linda Ronstadt moments, I think, in her whole career.
Well, maybe she should consider coming out of retirement.
I think she should.
Listeners will be familiar with most of the songs on this new CD. Are there any new ones?
Yeah, there's a new song on there called "Just Across the River" that was really a commission in a way. My friend Johnny Rivers called me, and his 93-year-old old country Italian mother had passed away, and he had gone out to Big Sur and set up on this big cliff and sort of said goodbye to his mom. And he had had a kind of an epiphany, and he said, "Can you write me a song called Where Words End?" And the structure of Where Words End eventually goes into a chorus section that says, "Just across the river, she'll be waiting for me just across the river." I was able really to incorporate a great deal of what I also felt about losing my own mother at the tender age of 16, which was really, I think, more traumatic than I've ever even let myself realize. So that song was incorporated into the record. With Michael McDonald, which is really one of the high points on the album, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, we don't have anyone to do duets with you. And
no, I
think
know.
You'd be disappointed if I joined you, but what are you going to perform now?
Well, I thought I would do the first cut, which kind of sets the tone for the whole record. It's kind of like, okay, guys, let's go on this journey together. And it's a song I wrote actually years and years ago. I wrote for Arlo Guthrie because, as you know, Arlo's from Oklahoma, too. And it's called Oklahoma Nights. Put the top down on this old Mustang. Buy us a bottle of wine. Head down south to see the old gang. I wanna see some friends of mine. I wanna see some friends of mine. A good loving people whose hearts are kind. Find that little town that's in the back of my mind. Oklahoma nights, I will never forget you. Sweeping through a sky full of lights, wild geese singing of their endless flights. Put a lamp in the window, mama, and tune it up bright. Lead me back to those Oklahoma nights. Oklahoma. We get out to the barn dance. We'll hear that rockabilly band singing about some hopeless romance. We will know we're home again. We will know we're home again. Panhandle people who understand. Wipe that little tear off the back of my hand. Oklahoma nights, I will never forget you. Sweeping through a sky full of lights, wild geese singing of your endless flights. Put a lamp in the window, mama, and tune it up bright. Lead me back to those Oklahoma nights. Oklahoma nights. Oklahoma nights. Put the top down on this old Mustang.
Jimmy Webb singing Oklahoma Nights. He'll be performing at the River to River Festival on July 14th at 7 p.m. It's free, and information about that is on our show page at WNYC.org. There's also a new CD out called Just Across the River with collaborations with some of the biggest names in music. And looking over that list, I was thinking about all of the hits that you've had interpreted in so many different genres, from country to top 40 and to rock. Do you see them all as very different genres when you're writing them?
No, not really. I think that one of the great weaknesses, I'm at a point in my life where I can kind of look back and see more of my life than less. I think one of my weaknesses has been my lack of savvy and being able to brand or market myself. I've always been interested in so much music. So in my top 10 records are, you know, Bitches Brew is one of them. Sticky Fingers is another one of them. Good Old Boys is another one. And I listen to primarily, probably 80% of the time I listen to classical music almost exclusively. So it's just this big musical bath that I just enjoy. And I've been fortunate enough, Leonard, that different artists from different genres have recorded my music.
Well, for example, Up, Up, and Away by the Fifth Dimension. If that had been recorded by Willie Nelson, it would have been a very different song. Yeah. But
it with worked, a very different meaning.
Yeah, but it worked very well.
Yeah.
So, and when you wrote that song, what did you think was going to happen with it?
Not much. I remember when we were cutting the record, they released two singles before Up, Up, and Away, and I thought, well, my little old song's hasn't got much of a chance here because it sounds like a Broadway tune. And everybody would say, "Boy, that's an odd sounding song."
that's why it stood out.
What is that doing on this record? You know, and sometimes it works for you, but most of the time it works against you. I tell you.
At one point, you wrote 5 top 10 hits within a 20-month period. Did you just feel like anything you did was going to turn to gold?
You know, I had this conceit as a young songwriter that I was always going to be able to do that, and it's something that I think people who are in their 20s have these wild hallucinations that they know, for instance, how to write a hit song. If I had sat and talked with Johnny Mercer for a while, if I'd had the good sense to do that, he would have quieted me down. He would have said, "Now listen, son, you know, there's ups and there's downs."
Yeah, well, you probably didn't realize that when you started, because by the time you were 21, you already had 8 Grammy Awards in a single year.
The truth is, I just thought it was up.
Yeah, you must have thought, well, this is the way it's going to be the rest of my life.
Exactly. It came as a kind of a rude shock. You know, there was an awakening. There was a cruel realization that, gee, I can't do this every time I want to do it, just because I want to do it.
On the other hand, hearing so many different people want to sing your songs and having them record them, and let's admit it, you get royalties every time that happens, that has to be very gratifying.
Well, you know, life has been good. I honestly wouldn't trade my life for another. I remember my sitting with Louis Armstrong when I was 17 years old and talking with him outside Tony Martin's dressing room. I'm kind of the Zelig of songwriters. I've been able to walk through walls and sort of wear an invisible suit. I remember sitting in some of the sessions for the Beatles' White Album and just watching the guys record The Invisible Man, you know. And
you had a relationship with George Martin at one point, didn't you?
I absolutely love George Martin and respect him almost above all other figures in popular music, because I believe that he was the secret ingredient that propelled the Beatles into a whole series of triumphs.
Well, we also, on the other side, Frank Sinatra was going to do a concept album of your song. So,
oh, we talked about that so many times, you know. And he, Sarge Wise would call me up and say, "Mr. S wants to see you." And I said, "Oh, it's the concept album, right?" And
well, it never happened.
We were still working on it towards the end. And I remember us having a session at the MGM Hotel and playing the songs again. And I remember him looking at Frank Jr. and saying, "We can make a hit out of this, can't we, Frank?" And at that point, unfortunately, he wasn't assimilating new material with great ease. That gets to be a problem. It does, you know. Even at my age, and I don't think of myself as being very old, I know that I don't soak it up as quickly as I once did.
What's the other song you're going to sing for
us? Oh, I was going to do a little bit of All I Know just for Artie, wherever Artie is. This is going out to Art Garfunkel.
Let's hope that he starts feeling better. They've been
yeah,
canceling concerts.
Yeah, I feel badly about that. And Artie's the one who took this little song and really, you know, did something with it. I bruise you, you bruise me. We both bruise so easily, too easily, to let it show. I love you and it's all I know. All my plans are falling through. All my plans, they depend on you, depend on you. To let them grow. I love you and it's all I know. When the singer's gone, let the song go on. It's a fine line between the darkness and the dawn. They say in the darkest night there's a light beyond, but the ending's always they come at last. Endings always they come too fast, they come too fast and they pass so slow. I love you and it's really all I know. Oh, it seems that's all I know. And it's all I know.
Jimmy Webb singing one of the many hit songs he's written, All I Know, originally recorded by Art Garfunkel. He will be performing live as part of the River to River Festival on July 14th at 7 p.m., a free concert. For information on that, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org. I was thinking of asking you to perform MacArthur Park, but we don't have enough time. It's only a two-hour show. But I'm curious about how you got started, because so many singers say, I got started in the church, and your father was a Baptist minister, but I don't hear religious music as one of the roots of your music. Am I missing something?
Well, most of our music around the home was Southern Baptist, and my father played a little guitar. He loved country music, and my mother played accordion. And my favorite bits out of the Baptist hymnal are really the Appalachian-influenced, the kind of Celtic-influenced hymn tunes, like I Will Arise, which goes, you know, mm-hmm. And I think if you listen to that, and then you listen just a little bit of The Moon Is Our Harsh Mistress, you see the similarities, and that. That's the roots of the germ of my creativity really lies in that particular spectrum of music. I love Irish tunes.
How did your father react when you said you were going to become a professional songwriter?
His reaction is semi-famous. He said, you know, that's never going to do anything except break your heart. And he was right. He was right. He was wrong, but he was right.
Well, your sons are now performing with you, aren't they?
Last November.
So you're not discouraging them.
I have tried. God knows.
You told them it'll break their hearts too.
Yeah, but it's in the genes. And I toured the UK with them last November, and the band was entirely my family. They were my family members. And I have to say, we sounded pretty darn good.
With your father?
My dad's 86 now. He doesn't travel that well.
Mm. But you.
He sang on the album. He sang "Red Sails in the Sunset, Way Out on the Sea." If you remember that one, that's a song he brought home from the war with him.
Now, are you popular in England? There are so many performers who have separate kinds of careers
Great Britain. I have a much more enthusiastic audience there, I would say.
Really?
It's kind of a cult following. And I remember when I played London one time that there was a bunch of guys there, four guys from Scotland, and they had drove down from Scotland from Edinburgh for my concert, and they had stopped at every pub. So that was kind of a problem, actually.
Glenn Campbell's son was your drummer on the British tour.
Yeah, Cal Campbell.
So this is all the kids get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very hard to dissuade them, even though you look out there today and the picture is grim. It's not like it was when I was coming up. I was, by contrast, I came to fruition in an era of plenty and excitement and where there was real demand for music. Today, it's a more hostile universe.
Well, you grew up in Oklahoma, then you became famous in Los Angeles, and now you live in Long Island.
Yeah, but I still very close to the water.
Well, that's the important part of it.
That is the important part.
And maybe that's why you're doing River to River.
Yeah, I think so.
Everything is a segue, Jimmy.
Just Across the River.
And the CD is called Just Across the River. It's out from E1 Music, and Jimmy Webb will be performing at the River to River Festival on July 14th at 7 p.m. It's free. You get information on our show page at WNYC.org. Thank you so much for being with us. It's been such a pleasure talking with you.
Thanks for having me, Leonard. I appreciate it.
She'll be arising. She'll find the note that I left hanging on her door, and she'll laugh when she reads the part that says I'm leaving, 'cause I've left that girl so many times before. By the time I make Albuquerque, she'll be working. She'll probably stop at lunch.
Glenn Campbell joining Jimmy Webb. Jimmy Webb will be performing, as I said, on Wednesday, July 14th at 7 p.m. at the Robert E. Wagner Jr. Park as part of the River to River Festival. It's free. For more information, you can visit our show page at WNYC.org.